This is going to be extemporaneous.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
1982. Wow. I'm a blessed couple of 1982. Your parents are too. When I was in the movement, and I joined in 1979 in very weird circumstances. I have a very gruff background, and I was not very Christian, religious, and anybody who proselytized to me, I had to tell them to get away. So I had to be physically, there was intervention physically, and I wrote a story for the We Were There about God and baseball. But I'm going to just jump ahead. But the thing is, I struggled very much when, being me, I had a very hard background and a very bad family to prove an ideal family. It's like I came from a family where parents were bickering all the time. Blood-curdling screams, knife-wielding episodes, and bringing race to Spanish Harlem. It's like, I would never get married, ever. That was my proclamation of life. But in 1979, when I joined the movement, to make a long story short, I had to physically hear the story, because I thought the Bible was nothing but fairy tales until I heard the history of the Bible and the fall of man. When I heard the fall of man and I realized God was a suffering God, I couldn't stop breaking down. People said, okay, we're going to discuss this lecture after lunch. I go, lunch? How could you eat? No, that's how devastated I was. But eventually I got involved. I got into my two-day workshop, and I was, what caused me to get into an accident and everything else, a van accident, to get to this workshop. The point is, 2 years down the road, or 2 and 9 months down the road, they're saying, we're going to match everybody, and it's going to be the last blessing. There's never going to be an opportunity, ever. Okay? This was in 1979, so you get an idea of this. But in all honesty, I was clearly, no, this is not it. This is not, I'm not ready. I'm not. There's no way this is going to happen for me. But eventually, I did have to go with it. I was taken by that word, like you were, and I had to do it. And I was very uncomfortable at the time. I had to put on my, Frank Groves, my leader at that time, and I was, for some reason, I was a CART member, but we were doing MFT. And I had to wear his shirt, and I'm smelling his cologne, and I have to wear this tie, and I feel very uncomfortable, and we're in this ballroom. And the night before the ballroom, there was the big meeting, 5,000 of us, and I had the guts to ask this question in front of 5,000 people. You know, they were telling me, Japanese sisters are going to be coming to this blessing, and so just wanted you all to know that. And I had this, what the hell is Derek's written? I had a question. what about the Korean women? When are they coming? I shouted out. You know, I had a passion to be matched to a Korean woman. And I was raised in the movement. I helped a sister. I helped a sister to speak English, but she helped me teaching me Korean. Mm-hmm. And I was just like prepared, and I was like, yeah, this is I'm falling for this, you know, this is cool stuff. But anyway, and I had very bad experiences with Japanese sisters. And I thought, never ever will I marry a Japanese. And then besides, they bombed Pearl Harbor. Why would I want a Japanese sister? This ain't happening. And so anyway, the next day came, of course the answer was they don't know. And then we were in the ballroom. Tiger Che was the leader at that time, and I was sitting down, kneeling, and then Tiger Che comes whispering in my ear, and I have a very bad background, so it's like, I don't know how to say no. And so Tiger goes, oh, Father wants to match Japanese. There was an announcement, Father's going to match the Japanese now, everyone wants to do that. So he comes to me, you know, he's going to do it. And I kind of like want to say no, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. He says, okay, you know. So I go, and then I'm there. Bo Hee Park is there translating for Father. And so Bo Hee Park goes, you want Japanese? And I lied. I said, yes. Anyway, for some reason, Father looking at me, and then he puts me down somewhere at the end, and then there's like 7 or 8 of us standing on the right side, and then there's about a whole, I don't know how many, 20 to 30 or 40 Japanese sisters kneeling down, and he says something to get up, like, four or five get up. Then he asks a question, and nobody's hand went up. I said, oh my God, am I that ugly? And I thought to myself, and nobody wants me. I'm thinking, And then only two sisters raised their hand. And then I found out, I learned that he was asking them how old they were, and because he had asked me how old I was. I was 24, and now she's 23. She's 6 months younger than me. Anyway, he took a long time to look, and then he picked her. And so my wife is standing there, and I'm standing over here, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding. All I saw was a cow. and this is terrible. I mean, of course, I'm being honest.
A cow?
I felt that was what was going on in my head. And then I looked at Father, and because I believe in Father, and I believe that this is his thing, his truth, and I believe he can see seven generations past everyone. I said, okay. And then, but the look I had on my face, Father could read it. And he looked after that and goes, you know, sorry, dude. Best I can do for you. I know you don't approve. And this is my test. When we got upstairs to talk, you know, I said to my wife, you know, all I got is faith. In other words, if you had six eyes and you know, gangrene hanging off your face, this is what I would do. You know, this is terrible. This is terrible. We're still married today.
Okay.
No, nothing happened. Just so you all know.
Japanese,
of course. So she said to me, in translating, you know, I had Mr. Matsusaki telling you, and she goes, all I have is love. And love to me was, I don't have this, you know, this touching and hugging and you know, I'm gruff and yucky, but I'm convicted. And I said, okay, then this is it, faith and love, we're doing it. And then we just, you know, it's been a rocky hills and valleys, but, you know, to this day, my wife is a beautiful person, and I love her very much, and we struggle till the end all the time. And it's not an easy road, but the truth is that we have a conviction, and I'm grateful to still be here. There were times I considered myself still a prodigal son, because there were histories. And you know, the funny thing is, when I got chosen to live, to be a candidate for security, I had to be faced with Father. And coming to the story, when Father interviewed two or three of us, he told one brother exactly what it was. Nobody knew. He told the second brother exactly something that no one ever knew. And when he looked at me, the thing he said to me, I'm not telling you what he said to them because of time. He looked at me and he didn't ask. He just said something. Are you impatient? So I think to this day I'm struggling. I even was talking to Robert last week and saying, I still think today that my matching was a mistake. I would prowl back and forth, up and down East Garden while I was guarding Father. Father, if I only knew this was your will, I would have no problem. But I feel like I volunteered myself in the wrong way. It was like I made the choice. God didn't ask me. And it's upsetting to me, because 2 months later there was a matching in Korea. And do you know how hard it is to me to understand that we're looking at matching, those two terms are now blended into one. Today, I still wonder, did I make a mistake? So you see how tough Satan is trying to hook his nails and grind his hooks into something like that. I have four beautiful children, and they're not blessed, any of them. But through my revival of coming back and my desire to teach the divine principle, because the only purpose that I live for, even though I'm a network engineer and I configure Cisco routers and switches, I hate it. I want to do God's will. I want to do the divine principle. I want to teach divine principle. I want to practice divine principle. And I want everybody to know the truth about the divine principle. That is what I live for. And I will die if I can't do it today. I don't care. I will sacrifice everything. I will live in my car again if I have to. The principle is all I want to teach to people. I want people to understand the significance and the value of their life. And that is all I live for today. I want to make True Mother happy, and I want True Father to know I am convicted. They know, and God only knows our history and our truth and our heart. And this is, you know, and I'm grateful for all of you too. So